Yes, it's Pet Chat time, and I'm joined by Cheryl Shaw, and we have a new vet today, Dr. Natasha Woods. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and nice to see you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here, and welcome, Natasha.
Yes, so today we're going to talk about, well, I'm looking at your brooch, and you've got, what is it, a fox in the sun, but I'm assuming we're not talking about foxes.
Yeah, I didn't have a brooch with a dog laying in the sun, so, you know, out came the fox.
Out came the fox.
But we're going to be talking about why dogs lay in the sun, and it's such a beautiful morning.
So, it is. Yeah. It is. So, all right, well, we'll find out about that. And you want to talk about arthritis today, Natasha?
Yeah, as the weather has gotten colder, so sort of a little bit of the opposite, but, our joints can get stiffer and colder, and same for our dogs and cats, so I thought that would be a great opportunity.
Wonderful. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM, and we've got a new vet today, Dr. Natasha Woods, and Cheryl Shaw is also here as usual. And Cheryl, we're going to start with you. You're going to talk about dogs in the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching my dogs this morning, and both of them went straight outside, out of the conservatory, found a nice spot in the sun, and they lay there. And they do that every day that it's sunny. Now, there's a few reasons why dogs really do like to go out. Obviously, it keeps them warm. So, you know, that warmth that you know yourself, if you're outside and there's nice warmth on you, you feel really good. But one of the things that it does, it makes you feel comfortable, but it also helps increase the serotonin in your body. So that really good feeling. So dogs are pretty smart. They can make themselves happy just by laying in the sun. And cats do the same thing. You'll often see a cat laying in a window or finding a nice space.
My cat likes to jump up onto the kitchen bench, and I think it's because it's the only place where it gets the warmth of the sun.
Yeah, so, and that sun is really important for a whole host of reasons. Obviously, there's vitamin D in the sun, and dogs and cats both need vitamin D to stay healthy. So that's sort of an element that is really important to them, to their nutrition. Also, sunlight helps when dogs have arthritic conditions. So if a dog is stiff or sore, often laying in the sun will just warm up those muscles and tendons and ligaments just to give them a bit more movement. So a dog that's elderly will often be found just laying in the sun for a bit longer. Now, it's okay at this time of the year when the weather isn't really hot, but we do need to be mindful when the weather is hot that an older dog laying in the sun for a long period of time is actually at risk of heat stress. Also, sunburn. A lot of dogs that lay in the sun will often expose their tummies, so they'll roll over on their back and their tummies will be exposed. Now, this can be a problem for some dogs, particularly breeds like Bull Terriers. Bull Terriers often have very pink skin and they're prone to cancer. So we need to be mindful of dogs that are laying in the sun at certain times of the year. They may need to have some sunscreen. Now, that don't go using your sunscreen. It's best to get a sunscreen that's designed for pets, and these are available at most of your veterinarians. So just make sure that if you're using something like that, that you have got the right product. The other thing is that we need to make sure too that we've got plenty of water. Even if it is this time of the year where it's not really hot but they're laying outside, they can become dehydrated fairly easily. The other thing is sometimes when your dog comes in, you'll notice the dog smells a little bit different, and that's because the oils on the skin have become heated. Now, this will dissipate after a while, but they'll often take in the environmental odours of where they're laying. So you'll notice that smell. That's a strange odour that they can sometimes get, and you think, oh, and then it dissipates. So it's just the oils going, you know, becoming increasingly warm. And then they come up through the hair follicle and give off that odour. But, yeah, laying in the sun, really good for dogs and cats. And, as I said, keeping their vitamins up and nice, relaxing.
Yeah, sounds good. I'd like to be lying in the sun right now, actually. We've got Rod from Rutherford on the line. Hi, Rod. Thanks for holding.
How are you going today?
Good, thank you. Now, you've got an 11-year-old mini foxy that's got arthritis.
Yeah, he's like me. He's got arthritis and he's worn out.
Oh, no. So you just want to know what you can give him?
What can I give him? Because it was pretty active up till start of winter time, and then, of course, we slowed down the winter, as we all know. What can I, or is there anything available to give it, or...?
Yeah, it's a really great question. Thanks for ringing in, Rod. There is a lot of options, and it's really great that you've recognised the changes in your mini foxy. And what's your foxy's name?
Mini.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, it's really... He had a big black M in his back.
Ah, yes. And what are those things that you've noticed have changed? Just like slower on a walk?
Slower on a walk, and he's sort of wobbling a little bit. Not mm-hmm. wobbling, but he's a bit stary on his feet. Look like he's been out all night. And he's not as active, anywhere near as active as what he has been.
Yeah, really great awareness of what you've to notice all of those. So there's a lot of options. At that level, from what you're saying, I highly recommend a check-in with your vet because I'd say there's at that level, he needs some medications to help really bring down that pain and discomfort. But there's also a lot of things you can do at home. So supplements can be really helpful, things that include the sort of the fish oils, omega-3s.
Now, but, I was going to ask you that one of my mates gives his dog fish oil tablets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is that applicable? I didn't know whether I thought he was having me on when he said that.
That is applicable. I do the same for my cat. There are specific dog and cat products that have more than just fish oil in them, and so they have got some really great research to show they are more beneficial than just the fish oil. But the fish oil is a great option if we're a bit more cost conscious, or that's just what we're used to. You can definitely ask your vet what dose to give, because it is a bit different and often a little bit higher than what we might give.
What my mate does, he breaks the tablet up and pours it in the dog's meal.
Yep. For my cat, I actually use the liquid one. I don't have to do that. Otherwise you can, So then that's sort of the basic level is that the supplements. Then the next step up, which I think for many is needed, is the pain relief. And then we can also do things at home. So what I was actually going to be talking about, one of the biggest things is reducing the slippery floors around the home. So,
sorry for interrupting. He won't come inside. He's the outside dog.
Oh, sorry. Yep. No, right. Sure.
He won't come inside because I've got timber flooring, and he won't come in. So that eliminates that point of activity.
For people who do have that, definitely the slippery floors, I'll talk about it later. But I suppose trying to make a warm space for your dog while they're outside, some warm bedding, that kind of thing.
He's got a kennel with carpet in it, he won't wear a coat.
So I think definitely the medication route is really where you're going to need to help Minnie in that front then.
All right then, not a problem for your time. You can go back to your coffee now.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks,
thank
Rod.
All right, bye.
And I just want to mention that Dr. Natasha is a behaviour vet. So if your animal has some behaviours that you're not sure about, you give us a call and maybe ask her what her advice is. And in the meantime, Natasha, you want to talk about arthritis in animals?
Yeah, exactly. As I mentioned earlier, as the weather has cooled down, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk about arthritis and chronic pain. We all have that feeling sometimes when our joints are a bit stiff in the morning because it's been a bit colder, and our furry friends get affected in the same way. So one thing I really wanted to highlight is that dogs and cats are champions at hiding just how bad their discomfort is. Frequently, all we might see is them being a little bit slower on walks, or resting or sleeping more and not playing as much, just as we heard about Minnie just earlier. So osteoarthritis, or joint pain, is the most common cause of chronic pain in dogs. So it affects up to 80% of dogs over the age of 8, so it's not even that old, and 40% of dogs over 4, so it can really still affect young dogs just as much.
What are the signs?
Yeah, so going to get into that in terms of, it depends. There's more different signs for young dogs compared to older dogs often. So in young dogs, we're more likely to see maybe they don't play or for as long, or like don't chase the ball for as long compared to another dog, or they're just maybe you think, they're just a bit of a lazy dog, or they put on weight easily. They're more common signs within young dogs. Another really important one is that we might see just changes in behaviour. So they might be, say, aggression, as if the pain is felt from a young age, they learn that things that being touched hurts, and they quickly learn that growling, snarling, biting actually gets them the space that they feel they need, because they want to keep other animals and people away. So if you're seeing that in your dog, it's really important to get them checked up. In older dogs, we might see that they're slowing down. They just don't walk for as long. They lag behind on the walk or they sleep more. We often put this down to old age, but actually it's an increasing discomfort due to the disease in their joints, not actually normal aging. So really important to get it looked at. And just to cycle back towards what is arthritis, is it is inflammation in the joints, but that doesn't really capture how complex it is. All components of the joints are affected, leaving the joint weaker and less mobile and reducing how much movement there is. So additionally, the nerves become sensitized, and this sends an ever-increasing messages to the brain that there's pain there. So the pain actually increases with time. I could go on and on about the process, but what we probably want to know more about is what we can do about it.
Sure.
So as we spoke about a little bit with Minnie, is there's a whole range of treatment options. So generally when it's on the more mild signs, so earlier on in the process, the only just started to slow down, or we're just seeing them not playing as much, that's when joint supplements are a great option, because they're working to help improve the health of the joint. They can't do as much for the pain. They can do more for the health of the joint. Keeping your dog is on a good weight, so any extra weight they're carrying will really make a big difference. We can also add in physio, pain relief, and even joint injections. So all things that we do for ourselves, if we've got joint pain, we actually can apply to our dogs and cats. We're not limited in the things that we can do. And then lastly, I just wanted to really add things that we can do at home that are cost effective. So keeping them warm, cozy beds, that soft surfaces for them to sleep on, but also reducing slippery floors is a really, really important aspect, because each time they're slipping and sliding on the floorboards that we love or the tiles, that's causing little micro aggravations in their joints, and that will make the joints get worse and worse over time. So where possible, putting down like a carpet runner, putting grippy surfaces under their bed and just right in front of their bed, so when they first get up, they can have that nice grip and they don't slide straight away when their joints are already sore. So yeah, just to sum up, is that it's just, so if you've seen any of these signs in your dog, you're concerned at all, I highly recommend speaking to your vet. Take some videos with you of them moving at home, because that can really help with the assessment. And do get it looked at, because the longer we leave it, the less they will move, the weaker their muscles will get, the joints will get stiffer, and the arthritis will progress faster. So, the earlier we get onto it, the better.
Wonderful. That is great advice. We've got Scott from Singleton on the line. Hi, Scott. Thanks for holding. You've got an 8-year-old rescue dog, and you want to know about the longevity and health of the dog as he ages.
Yeah. She's a Staffy Cross. Looks like a bit of a box of, cross red nose Staffy. She's a beautiful dog, and, she's well looked after, and I take her to the vet all the time. I was just reading or looking at the internet, sometimes you do things about just because she's on a half dry food and half wet food diet, do I need to supplement that with, like a bit of yogurt, the blueberries, or blackberries, sorry, for free radicals and things like that as well?
Yeah, it's a really great question, Scott. And what's the name of your dog?
Peaches.
Peaches, what a great name. So definitely, the food, if you're they're giving a high quality food for your dog, it is going to have overall all the nutrients that they need. However, I suppose if we apply some of the research towards people on our pets, that having this array of food, having lots of different fruit and veg potentially can improve the gut health that we have. So increase how many different microorganisms are in our gut, and that can then potentially improve our longevity. So there's some evidence towards that in people. Potentially we apply that to our dogs, just ensuring we're not giving them things like grapes and raisins that they're not allowed to have.
No, I learned that mistake ages ago, one day when I gave my dog an older dog years ago, a couple of grapes, and then I went, shit, should I be doing that? And then went, oh, no.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a lot of unknown about the grape raisin toxicity part, but, yeah, just best to steer clear of it. You could give them some extra fruit and veg just to bulk out that, help that gut health. But other things are just making sure, and you're probably doing things like this, but Peaches is a good body condition, not being overweight. That's a great one to do it, the regular exercise. Also thinking about their brain health, doing different brain games, just like we think of for ourselves. So things that for a dog is lots of sniffing activities. So using some of that dry food, for example, you could scatter around the garden or in your house and they can sniff and find it. That's a great brain game. Or putting it in something so they have to find it, and doing lots of sniffy walks as well. And the same can apply for our cats. I love doing these things for my cats too.
Yeah, no, I take her for like a run because I'm a little bit mobility challenged. I'll take her for a run and she'll follow the car and I'll drive around the 7-3. We'll do that for a good 20 minutes a day. So, you know, she's happy to sit there and I'll stop, let her have a sniff, and then I'll make her run a bit by.
Yeah, the sniffing is the really important part, letting them have lots of opportunity to sniff. That's like them reading the newspaper and talking to their friends.
Yep, and also the other thing I was going to ask about was when I first started taking her to the dog park, she was really, really good. But over the, within about 6 months, and I know it's a couple of years now, she's very, very vocal towards the other dogs, and you know why they're running and everything else like that. She's happy. She's not a ball chaser or anything else like that. But once everyone stops, then she's sort of like, "Come on, come on, let's go," and then she'll start being a little bit, aggro towards other dogs.
Yeah, sounds like she's getting a bit frustrated. So she is expecting them to just kind of constantly play, and when they're not doing that, what she expects, that's getting that frustration, and we're seeing that as the barking. So you could try things like trying to engage her in another activity. So again, using some of that food, you could sort of get her to come and maybe do a few tricks, or if it's not going to bother the other dogs, but put some treats on the ground so she can sniff and find them, engaging her in another activity so she's not as bothered by the dogs not playing anymore. So because she's got that expectation they're going to constantly play, but obviously that's not realistic, and we need to give her something else to do instead.
Yeah, it's just like even if I'm driving, she'll be standing, leaning her body weight into me.
Yeah.
And constantly looking for another dog. And as soon as she sees another dog, heads out the back window, arms over, out there, and she's barking head off. And they can't see a tail wagging or anything else like that. So they see it as a sign of aggression, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's a frustration, yeah. So trying to see, because is she in the back seat while you're in the front seat?
Yeah. She won't sit in the front seat. She always sits in the back.
Could sort of toss some treats onto the seat next to her and encourage her to find those instead.
Yep, no worries. Yeah. I'll give it a go. Look, she's a beautiful dog, and I want to make sure I get a good life out of her.
Sounds like you're doing a great job. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, give her bones, keep her teeth, healthy. Sorry.
Yeah.
And everything else like that. But, I just sort of want to ask a little bit of advice about that. Yeah. But
well, good luck, Scott, and thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Your Station 2 and URFM 103.7. This is Pet Chat. We're going to look at our pets of the week, and we're going to start with a cat called Bat Boy who looks like Batman. the face is black, and there's a little white bit around the mouth, and, it looks like he's wearing a little Batman mask. Very cute.
He does indeed. He does look very cute. So, he's a black and white cat, and he has white socks, and he is 2 years old, and he loves people. He loves good human interaction, and he also likes to have an explore. He's a confident boy. He can be quite chilled out and relaxed in the evenings, and he would suit a lot of different households, including those with children. So, yeah, if you're looking to get a new cat, then he could be yours.
Right. And, yeah, you get to go around going, bad boy, bad boy.
You just so want that cat, don't you?
I want that cat. Tiffany Two Socks McCreed would not be happy with bad boy, but we would. Now, next we've got Java and Nico. Now, we've had these dogs before, probably maybe earlier this year. So they're still looking for their forever home. And, yeah, they're six-year-old bull Arabs. They're bonded.
Yes, so there's two of them, obviously, and they're best friends. So they're looking to get a home together. They're used to being on a farm and looking for somewhere with a bit of space so they can have a good run around. That they do also love a cuddle on the couch. Nico is the bigger of the two, but he is a gentle giant. So they do love a cuddle and relax time as well as having a good old run. Yeah, finding a home for them together where they've got some space to run around is what they're looking for.
All right. Well, if you'd like to check out Java and Nico or Bad Boy, that would be wonderful. They're on our website, 2NURFM.com.au. Well, we're having a good morning, good afternoon. We've had a few calls and we've got a few more. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM. We've got Louise from Windale on the line. Hi, Louise. How are you going?
I'm good. I've got a little dash hound. He's going on six. Now, I'm changing all his food around. He loves everything, potato chips, everything. And I've changed him to cat food. And it's because it's got the tuna fish and all that in it. Is that a good thing or not?
It's not the ideal option. If he loves lots of different foods, then that makes things a little easier in terms of feeding him. But cat food is balanced for cats. They do have different nutritional needs from dogs. So definitely sticking to dog food for dogs is the recommended. But you can add in a little bit of tuna, like tuna in spring water rather than like the oil, if you're wanting to add in some little extra things for them. But definitely having the majority of the food as the dog food is the recommendation.
Right. Well, I used to give them chicken eggs, but you can't buy them now. You've got to buy them in bulk. Can he have chicken wings?
It really depends. It's not my favourite thing to feed because in terms of I don't eat raw chicken because I could get salmonella poisoning. It's the same for our dogs. So I do recommend avoiding things that are raw like that. But
oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
And that, but he's cheese motivated. And you think if he doesn't like the food, you just put the cheese over the top and it's gone.
Yeah, so if you use, you could do tiny little sprinkles. So maybe if you grate the cheese, because he's obviously only a little dog, so you only want to use a really small amount.
That he has.
Yeah, that's okay.
He eats porridge, anything you eat, he eats.
Fair enough. But as I was saying, keeping it as where you can, a majority is the dog food and just having those small treats for him because he's only a Dachshund, he's a small dog. So small amounts for us can actually be quite big amounts for him. But I know when they love it so much and they look at you with those eyes, it can be tempting.
Yeah, he's about 14 kilos.
Oh,
very long.
Yeah, okay. Has the vet thinks he's in a good body weight or is he a little bit on the round?
He's solid. They just can't get over how long he is.
Very long, Daxi. Bless him.
Yeah, well, he takes up the whole bed, of course.
Lying sideways like my son does.
Yes, and you've got to find the spot you can go. If you move, well, your spot's gone.
He's well loved.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Louise. Appreciate your call.
Okay, bye now.
Bye. And next we've got Liat, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, from Caves Beach. Hi, now you've got an anxious rescue dog that needs a companion.
I do. I've had her for about 18 months. She's been diagnosed with canine PTSD. And she's on Zactin, and I also have to give her some Valium if there's going to be a stressful event like me picking her up and taking her to the vet. So she really doesn't like physical contact unless it's on her terms. and we've kind of got used to that, and I guess I've lowered my expectations of how well she's going to respond. She's 13 years old, and I recently lost. I got a rescue greyhound, as just like another dog in the house, predominantly for her. Anyway, we lost the greyhound a little while ago, and I'm looking for another rescue dog for her. Ideally, I guess I'd like a small, confident dog, but the dogs that I seem to be finding on the rescue sites are also kind of anxious dogs.
Yeah, it's a really big challenge that sometimes, finding a good companion, especially when they are older. What was your dog's name, sorry?
Her name's Sandra.
Sandra. Cute. And with the greyhound, did she enjoy your greyhound's company? Did they play or anything like that?
No, it was a senior greyhound as well. Mm-hmm. So they were both 12 when I adopted them. So now they've both turned 13, and greyhound, unfortunately, went over the Rainbow Bridge. It's funny because they never kind of interacted. They might bop nose rarely.
Yeah. And if you leave Sandra at home on her own, is she okay with that?
Yeah, look, she's fine.
Oh, good.
I just noticed since the greyhound's gone, even though they didn't interact that I saw, I think it's left a big hole in her confidence. And, if I could get the greyhound to do something, then she'd generally follow along.
Yeah. It is really, I can understand what you're saying. And if you have that right pairing, it can help out. But to be honest, they're like finding a needle in a haystack sometimes. So generally the recommendation is to help Sandra as that individual rather than trying to find that pairing. I can understand when it's worked well and you've seen that it's worked well, then that's fantastic. Mm. But it is a needle in a haystack, as you say. You're more likely to get another dog that's got different problems and you're going to be compounding the issues. So, yeah, if Sandra's already on quite a bit of medication and she's okay being left on her own, it's more looking at what else can we do at home and to help her out. And maybe if you've got a friend or someone who has a dog that you can use more intermittently, that might be a better option than getting a rehome when she is at that older age of 13.
Yeah, I do have other dogs I look after for friends, from time to time, other little dogs. And you can see just how much she picks up.
Mm.
And she becomes a lot more energetic, a lot more interested in what's going on. Whereas, on her own, she's tending to kind of sleep a lot. And I can't take her for walks. That's just too much for her. But I've got a sort of decent yard that she likes to sniff around in, and I have enrichment
yes.
activities.
Yes, sounds like you're doing a lot for her, and she's very lucky to have you. And unfortunately, I think we've got to end it there, but you sound like a lovely owner for her.
Yeah. And if you have any more problems, give us a call and hopefully we can sort it out. And, good luck with that, Liat. This is Pet Chat, 2NURFM.